Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
And I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. Y'all see we getting good at that. Y'all see that? Welcome back, family. Hi, how are you today? We're excited about today's episode because we are continuing, and this is the last segment of us journeying through Don Miguel Ruiz's Four Agreements. So if you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen to that, because we discuss the first two agreements, which the first one is be impeccable with your word. The second one, don't take anything personally. Mm-hmm. So you'll definitely want to catch up on those in order to fully understand these. And so the two agreements that we will be discussing today are don't make assumptions and always do your best. Mm-hmm. So which of these two are like a favorite of yours, Toya, or it could be of the four? Or
I like them all, of course. Mm-hmm. But the don't make assumptions, I was the queen of assumptions. It was, and you know what, all of the assumptions that I made was only based on me and what I would do or mm-hmm. what I would think. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the other person. So correct. I create these narratives and this is what I'm going to go with. So yeah. That's what I do like because the don't make assumptions. And it's very important because most of the assumptions that you make aren't based on any fact. So the assumptions that I would make were solely based on me, my perspective of the situation, how I would handle the situation, what I truly would think in the situation. And it had no validity to it. Mm. And it had nothing to do with the person communicating with me. And so it's very important not to make the assumptions because you believe it's true, because you take a little bit of an experience that you've already had. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you take a little bit of experience that you've already had, and then you say, well, for me, oh, I've seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
So I know exactly what you think. Yes. You're not telling me the truth. Look, you become the liar based off of my assumption, because surely you don't want to tell me the truth. But I know what you're thinking. And so then
there's a pattern recognition.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just maybe that's not the case in that situation.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. So with the third agreement, don't make assumptions, Don Miguel Ruiz states, find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. And I would agree with you, Toya. I think that the biggest problem about making assumptions is that we do believe it to be a truth mm-hmm. for us, because it seems so real to us. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with Miguel Ruiz that it can only lead to suffering, the lack of communication mm-hmm. and being afraid to ask questions. And for me, the way that I catch myself with assumptions is when I typically say, oh, I thought, mm-hmm. and then fill in the blanks. So okay. It's like the minute that I say, oh, well, I thought, okay, then mm-hmm. Clearly I'm making an assumption, because I'm telling you what I assumed you to either do or not do mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of just clarifying. But I will say too that I think that society kind of encourages us to assume, like it's sort of like you're more intelligent if you can just know versus someone having to tell you. And like we even see that in our parenting. Like how many times during childhood do our parents expect us to know what they want us to do? To expect us to know, well, it's Saturday morning, you should be cleaning.
Right. And you see, that's the two different perspectives from the, because you have that expectation assumption. You just assume, even when you're in a relationship, well, surely if he stopped to get some food, he would he'd go get some for me. But here's the thing. You was home all day, baby. What if you already ate? How would he know? So you would assume he already knows. Or then your expectation would be, hey, well, when you're out and you're buying food, you just automatically buy me some.
Right.
But then the moment that he automatically buy you some and he comes home and you've cooked, then that's a problem.
You can be like, well, babe, you should have called.
So
it's a like, rabbit hole.
Yes.
It's a rabbit hole of, well, I thought you and I thought you. And it just bounces back and forth between the ball is in your court, now it's in my court. And I agree with you. I'm glad you brought up the expectation assumptions. Because to me, if we set the expectation, then it no longer qualifies as an assumption because I can expect it from you.
Right.
But at the same time, too many expectations becomes a ball of confusion of a whole bunch of rules to remember, you know? And so I think that's where we need the yin. There does need to be some intuitiveness to it. But when it definitely, when it comes to relationships and interacting with people that maybe you don't interact with on a daily basis, you definitely don't want to make assumptions in that category.
Right.
But I do think it's fair to make an assumption because of simple pattern recognition from being around the same people every day, like the people that you live with. It's okay to assume that they're going to respond a certain way. And that's in the smallest ways, you know, because I get what he's saying about the dangers of making assumptions. But at the same time, if you don't make up your mind and assume some things, then you just wouldn't do anything.
Well, you know, yeah, I see what you're...
You see what I'm saying? Like, we make assumptions about everything. Like, we assume, you know, the summertime is coming, so the electric bill might be a little bit higher because the AC is going to be running a lot more. You can't necessarily say, well, don't make assumptions and it applied to that. If the pattern recognition, if the pattern has been that that is typically the case, is that the AC runs more in the summer for my household. So it's safe for me to assume it's going to do that again next summer in my household.
Okay, so now it's safe. It's safe for you for your house, right?
Correct.
But then you wouldn't be able to assume it for my house. Somebody,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because you might have an AC running in the winter, child.
Right, right. And but do you see how they tie in, how don't make assumptions tie into not taking things personal?
Oh, 100%.
Because you're assuming that this person, you've made assumptions. You're assuming this person thinks just the way you have planted it in your mind.
Yeah.
My ex would always say, you created a narrative. And so, and I do. and I stand on it.
Okay. Okay.
But
accountability for me.
But, but I wasn't always right. But,
right.
Yeah, right. But, but then when, then I'll take it personal. Because now I've made an assumption based on me and my reality, my feelings, my emotions. And now whatever your action is or lack of action, now I'm taking it personal.
And see, that sort of assumption comes from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's less about you assuming because of their pattern and more about you assuming because you feel like you don't deserve or you lack something, you know, whereas, as he would say, the narrative that you're building, is there any basis to the narrative? Because if I haven't given you reason to assume, then you definitely shouldn't.
And that's where I guess I get, that's where I kind of get hung up at, because sometimes the pattern is so strong. It's like, surely this is what it is. This has got to be it. And so then you have it where it's right in your face, and then you decide not to make an assumption and you go on, and then something falls apart. Mm-hmm. And so then you'll have your friends and family like, well, you didn't see that coming, or you didn't see this, this, and this. Well, I did, but I was trying to give them, what do we say, the benefit of the doubt? Mm-hmm. So I get hung up there because it's like, well, I guess I still shouldn't take it shouldn't make assumptions. But sometimes I'd be like, well, how can you not? But I guess those are the things that you just can't really worry about. Correct. You just have to go with it daily and just try to make sure that you're taking each situation one step at a time until you can master this part.
Yes. I think that when we have our assumptions, let's try to consider if there are any additional factors that we could add to it to support whether that assumption is true or not. So like, for example, in the book, Don Miguel Ruiz gives the example of walking in the mall and you seeing a person that you like, and that person turns to you and smiles and then walks away. Mm-hmm. And so he says that, you know, because of that, a whole lot of assumptions can be made simply based off of that experience. And it can lead to fantasy. And fantasy can lead to you making it real and you thinking, oh, that person smiled at me. Oh, they must really like me.
Right.
And so in your whole mind, he like you. Not only do he like you, you done married him already in your mind.
Right. He just said hi.
And all he did was smile.
Right.
That's it. Now, on the other hand, like, okay, so with that example, that is not enough to go off of to say that that person liked you. They were just smiling because they saw another being and y'all made eye contact. And it's just something, a nice gesture to do. Now, on the other hand, say you are walking through the mall with your significant other and a person smiles at them. You witness a person smile at them, bat their eyes, you know, it looks a little bit flirtatious. Now, you might say, okay, well, I know it's not an assumption. I know that he or she was trying to flirt with my significant other. Well, in this case, you have more to go off of because it wasn't just the smile. It was the look in the eye. It was the body language. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when we're talking about these assumptions, we have to consider what else? Try to take inventory of what else is contributing to the experience that gives you the impression of whatever it is that you're believing at the time.
And
what
validates
the assumptions?
Well, right. Now, that's true because it is a significant other that, and then, you know, that's the, okay, you're being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's you as the person, for me, I like the flirt. And so, but I don't like you though. Nor do I want anything further. It's just like a little friendly banter, you know. Just,
yeah.
You know, you want to feel like, oh, you're cute today. So you want to smile and, you know, you flirt a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the other person flirts back, make you smile. You know, you feeling like, oh, okay. Well, if
but
I
it doesn't
wanted,
like go past there.
No,
like,
I don't want it to go past there. However, I'd be so into it. He probably thinks that I'm ready to get married. He may run away from me.
Is it that, you know, because of that, is it that, okay, you just shouldn't make assumption at all? Or is it that, no, I assume right, but you're playing with me.
No, you shouldn't make assumptions because I'm flirting with you, but we're adults.
But
we're having a friendly little back and forth, little situation.
I don't want
to date you.
Oh, really? I like to throw this in there because we have collective agreements. Okay, now this is the book of agreements. Okay.
Okay.
Because we have collective cultural and societal agreements. Okay, there is a collective agreement that that type of behavior can be defined as flirting.
It can be.
And we have defined on the majority that you flirt with someone that you are interested in. There are more people that flirt because of interest versus flirting for their entertainment, right? So then, do I have the right to assume that if you were flirting with me, that you are interested in me? You know, you are like the minority.
You should ask me a question. You should ask questions then. Are we going on a date? No, we're not. This is, don't take it too far.
Don't take it personal.
No. Don't take it personal. No, I'm just having a, look, you, no.
This look, is, guys, Don Miguel Ruiz said, be impeccable with your word. Okay, be intentional about what you're doing. So if you are out here intentionally leading people on and then telling them not to assume. Now let's admit, you know, when we talk about the men versus women situations, that's something that men tend to get away with doing all the time. You know, they like to walk like it and talk like it, but then will claim it's not it.
And right. They're the better, and they, you know what? And they're the best to flirt with, those kind of men, because they gonna smile real nice, show their pretty teeth, and we don't want anything from each other.
So then let me ask you this. So who becomes responsible? Should it be the person who is intentionally leading on, knowing that the way they flirt is a minority way of thinking, not the collective of thinking somebody's interested in you? Mm-hmm. Or should the person on the receiving end of the flirt just understand that not everybody operates the same? And so you need to think beyond just your definition of flirting.
I think that you should think that everyone isn't the same. And that's where you would have to either ask the questions, because you very well may like that person. Because it could very well be a day where you want someone to talk to you, or you may want a relationship at the time. And so then the assumption is, because I'm being nice to you and I'm flirting, I am flirting, I'm now I like you and I want you, you're still assuming that. you know, like you ever have, like, you know, guys, if you watch a situation with guys and they may flirt with you, you can be to a party, they can talk to you all day long, you know, all evening long at the party, but they still may not ask for your number when they leave.
Yeah, they may not.
It was just simply having a good time, just simply, you know, making you feel good, you making him feel good, and go on about your business. You can't assume that I like you. Now, don't get me wrong. That has backfired before, but I'm just saying. And so to what you were saying about being impeccable with your words and intentional, because that's the thing, you know, to be intentional with your words and your actions. And so then, so yes, me intentionally doing it, knowing I don't want anything from it, but I am intentionally, putting that energy out there, then I could see it can be very misleading. And I can see how you would make an assumption, because that, like you said, that is what we tend to do.
The collectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's when it goes back down, boils down to like, just not depending on anything outside of you. Like, you got to make yourself happy out here in these streets, because people, it's like, but you know, that can feel like such a place of, like, there's no emotional security anywhere.
But see, it still ties back to the don't take it personal. See, because a guy flirts with you and you're liking him, and now you know that he don't even want anything from you. He was wasting your time, actually. Now you're taking it personal, but it wasn't really about you. It was about whatever he was getting from it, or whatever he needed to see. You know, he may feel like, well, he getting older, he want to see if he still got it, you know? And so you're feeling some kind of way like, well, what's wrong with me? Why didn't he want me, or he doesn't want to, you know, whatever. Because it could be someone you see often that just flirt every time he see you. So then there's the, well, you know, what's wrong with me kind of thing. It's not even about you, though. It's about him. So So that's why I do like how those, they tie together to me, for me.
Yeah. I'm always at a weird place of not taking things personally and making healthy assumptions. You know, because when you think like about how the brain works, it's natural to make assumptions based on patterns. You know, and it can be hard to differentiate making assumptions based on solid fact that's been proven time and time again versus off of every once in a while experiences. Like, it's safe to assume that the sun is going to rise every day and it's going to set every day because that has been proven time and time and time and time again. That's a safe assumption. But whether or not, you know, your boyfriend is going to love you tomorrow, people are too fallible. So you may not want to put your emotional security in that, knowing that at any moment people can change who they are. And you know, it's like in the logical sense,
depend on a person.
Yeah. I think in the logical sense, I get it. Like, the technicality of it, I get it. But living it, that freaking sucks. Oh, my God. Don't take it personal. Like, fuck you mean? Don't take it personal.
Like, especially if you're liking them. They done pissed you off.
Exactly. Like, it's like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know.
But see, for me, because and that's where I'm back to the beginning when I say, when I make my assumptions, I'm making it based on me and what I feel. So when a guy flirts with me and I flirt back, I never take it personal because I know me. So but see, that messes me up when it, you know, with someone who's not with it, you know, that you have those, I'm a straightforward person and this is how I move. And, you know, if I don't, you know, you have some men and women, like, you're not going to flirt with anybody that you know, you don't like them. You're not trying to be with them. You're in a relationship. You're not going to friendly flirt. So, you know, you have that kind of person. So then the mistake would come in as when you are not that kind of person and you are flirting intentionally, and you want to see if something can spark, but then you have that other person making an assumption like, oh, this is what I do all the time. So surely you don't want nothing with me. So I'm flirt back with you and keep it moving. Do you see what I'm saying? You see how that making the assumption still would cause a problem, vice versa.
Definitely. It's just not safe to.
It's not safe to make assumptions.
But I think, like, depending on the context in which you are making the assumption, sometimes we think it's rude. Like, you know, if our significant other maybe says or doesn't say that they love us, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? Respond with like, well, I don't assume that you love me. And they may be thinking, what do you mean? I take care of you. I do this, like that, et cetera. You know, I show you. And then it's like, yeah, but I can't assume that that means you love me.
Right, because you didn't say it. And so then it's like, well, then there's the love languages that's coming in for there. Like, maybe they don't know that they need to say it, but just me being a provider is me loving you. You know, like you have the guy that's always that doesn't work in the States in with their family. But then for him, it's, well, I was working, making money because I love my family and I'm taking care of you. I'm providing for you. He's not considering you're not here in the house with us. So I can assume that you really don't want to be here. Or should I assume that? Because see, your love language could be different. You just know I'm a provider. And that goes back into your upbringing and, you know, things that you could have ran across a guy or an older mentor who said, you know, you just make sure you provide whatever you do, provide. And then that sticks in your head in a different way. So then to you, and that's why the in the Four Agreements, he talks about the communicating and how you have to ask the questions because is this working for me? Just if you you're out of state or out of wherever you're working at, and now I'm feeling like unloved or unwanted or whatever it is that you're feeling, single parent. Now I'm assuming you really don't want to be home with us. Whereas mm-hmm. you could be there really wanting to be home with us, but feeling like you don't have, this is the only way that you can provide. So there's that need for the communication opposed to the assumptions.
100%. I agree with that. So the remedy for this agreement is clear, concise communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to ask the questions. Hey, do you not want to be here no more? Do you not want to be with me anymore? And, mm-hmm. you know.
And see, making those assumptions also means not to assume the worst.
True. You can't assume. You shouldn't assume the worst. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't assume the worst. And the worst comes from, like you said, those experiences that we've had.
Right.
You know, exactly. You're missing. And you imagine you're missing, but then you're dating a person that has abandonment issues.
Yes.
They're going to assume every single time. So communicating, that relationship is going to fail or it's going to be miserable because you don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So
it sheds a light on the importance of doing the work to work on ourselves, because mm-hmm. I feel like one of the biggest things that contribute to the failure of relationships is that people don't know themselves. They mm-hmm. don't know what their triggers are. They don't know what their traumas are. And so when they find themselves triggered by a situation, they have no idea how to communicate it to you or to even have the awareness to recognize that they're being triggered in the moment. And they can't explain themselves to you because they haven't really truly taken the time to get to know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that leads into the fourth agreement, which is to always do your best. And I think a part of doing your best is by getting to know yourself and understanding yourself. And Don Miguel Ruiz states that your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading that when he said that, and then I have this quote from an author, Bethany Hamilton, where she says, love God, love others, do your best in all you do, even if you fall short.
Mm-hmm.
So every day as you're trying to, your intention is to do your best every day. So you can't get discouraged if you mess up, if you make an assumption or if you take something personal. Mm-hmm. That's just your time to self-reflect. Why did I take it personal? Or, mm-hmm. you know, what was the basis of my assumption? So like you said, to do the work, maybe I need to heal in the area. And so my assumptions could be negative or, you know, something like that. So then you do the work at that time. And so then the next day is a new day, and a new day you start over.
Correct.
So the next day you have a clean slate. You just said it yesterday, which is, you say tomorrow takes care of itself.
It does.
This is a new, so when you notice it and then you deal with it accordingly, like I said, with your assumptions and you're taking it personal and you ask yourself those hard questions. Mm-hmm. And then you start over. You be impeccable with your words. You be intentional when you speak. And then you just start over every day. And then as you continue on day by day, you get better and better.
You do. And I think this agreement actually ties back into the first one of being impeccable with your word, except mm-hmm. for being impeccable with your actions too, by mm-hmm. doing your best. And Don Miguel Ruiz talks about how it's important to do your best because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. Mm-hmm. Because if you take action because you have to, you're not going to give it your all. Whereas the way you may take action towards something that you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he says that action is about fully living. Inaction is the way that we deny life, and inaction is sitting in front of the television every day for years because you're afraid to be alive and to take risk in expressing who you are. And when you express who you are taking action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love that he says that. He goes on to talk about that in India they perform a ritual called puja. And mm-hmm. in the ritual, they take idols that represent God in many different forms and bathe them, feed them, and give their love to them. They even chant mantras to the idols. And the idol itself is not what's important. But what is important is the way that they perform the ritual, the way that they say, I love you, God. God is life, or spirit is life in action. And he goes on to say that the best way to say I love you or thank you to that which gave you life is by giving life your best, being mm-hmm. in the present moment right now. Whatever life mm-hmm. takes away from you, to let it go and to surrender and let go of the past. And by doing that, you allow yourself to be fully alive in the moment.
But see, remember, you know what, we've been always taught to use that past, your past experiences as that guide,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like you can use your past experiences, but very limited, because you don't want to get stuck in the past. Yeah, you don't want to get stuck in the past either, continuing to just live there.
Exactly. Exactly. You can honor where you come from mm-hmm. without staying stuck there, because I will say too, if you completely disregard, then you're bound to repeat history. But by recognizing it for what it is, but then moving on,
mm-hmm.
that's where you're living in the present now.
Right.
And if you're in the present, mm-hmm. you're giving the present your full attention, which is your best.
Right. And that's what I now, it's one of the things that I've been working on with myself is staying present, because my mind wanders past, future. Very rarely was my mind really on the present, unless I'm mm-hmm. doing something specifically. I try to stay present, but for a long time, my mind, I'm just everywhere in the past or in the future, like, but not necessarily satisfied with the present. Or mm-hmm. satisfied with it, but just not completely satisfied with it. And so mm-hmm. for me, every day, I make sure, like, I'm in the present right now. I'm enjoying right now where I am, whether I'm sitting on a patio or sitting in a loft. I'm mm-hmm. present right now, right here. This is what I'm doing right now. And mm-hmm. that's been very, very helpful with not dwelling on past or things, or trying to always connect them with something going on right now. So mm-hmm. that has helped not make the assumptions that I once made.
Mm.
Because now I'm focused on right now, and I'm focused on your actions right now, or my actions, or whatever the situation is right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very helpful, you know, to everyone who wants to try to start, you know, following the four agreements. If you've already started following the four agreements, mm-hmm. if you know, if that's an area that you may need a little bit more work in, for me, that worked for me, and it may work for you as well, to just focus mm-hmm. on trying to be present. And when you're present, to me, you're more mindful. You're mindful of what you're saying. Because you're mindful of what you're thinking.
Leads to awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he does go on to talk about that. There's a portion after the fourth agreement where he talks about, you know, the path to freedom, and how you can, through living these four agreements, you can attain such a beautiful life. And he talks about the first step towards personal freedom is awareness. Mm-hmm. And that we need to be aware that we are not free in order to be free.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be aware of what the problem is in order to solve the problem.
Right.
And so when he talks about realizing that you're not free in order to be free, you're not free because of the programming and the conditionings that, you know, the domestication of the planet that he talks about at the very beginning of the book. And when you realize that your thoughts are not your thoughts because they've been programmed, they're a result of systems that have been downloaded into your mind, then you realize that you're not free because you're you are operating off of autopilot. You're simply operating off of the operating systems that have been installed into you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get into that place of being present, meaning that you are now paying attention to everything that you do, you can't help but have an awareness of realizing, wait a minute, so I've been washing my clothes on Sunday all the time, but it's really more convenient for me to do it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's something as simple as that that can take you off of autopilot. And when you are aware of what your problems are, then you are on the path to fixing those problems. Now that you realize, oh my gosh, I'm not free because look at all the things that I am shackled to and that I do, including my beliefs. And then when you intentionally change that and intentionally work towards it being a conscious decision, your beliefs being a conscious decision, now you are free. Free to create the life you want.
And it can go from the simplest things to difficult things where that you realize you're not free. For me, it's cleaning up.
I'm getting free.
But it got a hold on you.
But it's the autopilot that you mentioned. It's programmed. And so for me, it's, I thought like, I have to do it. I have to get it done. I have to. And nobody's coming over. It's just in my mental because it was programmed there. And so it does, there is a different feeling of not being free. You know, when you're not free to something, if you are aware, I shouldn't say you necessarily know, because sometimes we operate in things and we still think we're free in it. You have to, you know, like you said, it's about getting to know who you are as a person, and then you can determine whether you're free or not.
Exactly. And he explains that you achieve the mastery of transformation, which is becoming free, by changing the fear-based agreements that make you suffer and reprogramming your own mind in your own way. And how as you begin to do that work to free yourself, you then become more impeccable, because you are more accountable and responsible, because now you can say, well, I think this because I chose to, because I believe in it. And so you are then completely responsible for your behavior. You are in control of your behavior. And that's where the practice of discipline, when it comes to like Eastern faiths and cultures, and they talk about discipline a lot. You need discipline once you become free, because now you know that you are in control of everything in your life, and you're going to need discipline and wisdom to keep you from being impeccable with your words and being impeccable with your actions. It's going to give you some sort of code to live by. What are the values? And first and foremost, if it circles back to being impeccable with your word, then the first thing about discipline is checking yourself. How are you representing yourself in the world? How are you showing up? are you spewing poison and black magic onto other people, or are you spreading love and light mm-hmm. and healing? Are you mm-hmm. tearing people down, or are you building people up? Mm-hmm. Because there are people that operate in their freedom on the black side of things.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. they abuse their power. They know they're free. They know you're not free. And so they will intentionally, they're impeccably manipulating you mm-hmm. and controlling you. That's what the governments we deal with today are literally doing. They free and they power as wrong mm-hmm. as it is. And mm-hmm. so if you are not free, or you are not awake and you are asleep and not realizing the freedom that you could have, then you are subjected to whatever they give you, whatever they introduce to you. And then you just accept it as a way of mm-hmm. life, instead mm-hmm. of realizing that you can take the reins and you can change things. You can create a new dream, a new life mm-hmm. for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And when you're doing the best that you can, doing your best, and you're being more impeccable with your words, then that also aids in your manifesting. Mm-hmm. Your outlook is positive. You're speaking positive. You're being intentional. It's like everything connects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the part about the initiation of the dead? There's a part at the end that talks about embracing the angel of death. Did you see that part?
Is it in his prayer?
No, it's after the fourth agreement, but before he talks about the new dream.
Oh, okay.
Before I think it's like chapter 6. I think it's before the heaven on earth.
I did read about that, but let me go back to it really quick.
He basically is talking about like being okay with the whole, you know, who knows if they're going to die tomorrow, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that part.
Well, for me, I think that well, it's kind of like what we had talked about before, whereas living for today and allowing tomorrow to take care of itself.
Yep.
You can make some preparations for tomorrow. And when I say some, I mean very little.
Okay.
Because it can't go hand in hand with your faith if you're making major preparations for tomorrow mm-hmm. or the God that supplies all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when he's talking about your initiation of death, or where he's saying like you're not being like you prepare yourself for it, you're preparing mm-hmm. yourself every day. I think that I do like how he used that.
Me too. Because
I like how he used it, and to me, he's still bringing you back to making you present in the moment right now.
Yes, because basically he's saying when you embrace the angel of death, you will live every day as if it's the last day, because you're not mm-hmm. assuming that you're gonna wake up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that life is going to be here tomorrow, right?
Right. And so that's why I said you're not overly preparing for mm-hmm. 6 months from now, because exactly. you don't know if you're going to be here.
Exactly.
And so then in every day, and I think that it helps you to be more intentional. I think it yes. helps you to do your best, because you don't know. But we get into auto mm-hmm. and we just think we're going to be here forever at that, you know, in this life. We feeling like, and it's not about dwelling on when you're going to die. It's mm-hmm. just living your best life every day. That's how I
exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Just for today.
Mm-hmm. Just for today.
Just for today. And that is a Reiki precept for people that are unaware. Kyo dake wa just for today. And I love that Reiki precept. I think about that one almost daily. Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday. So, so yeah, guys, that is the four agreements. I do, Don Miguel Ruiz does offer, I think, one or two prayers at the end of the book. And I want to read the prayer for freedom for you guys, because the idea here is to truly get to a place. And he just has some beautiful words to help you get to a place where you can get to a place of freedom and truly get in control of your life. So take a moment
before you read that, when you just said about the like prayer of freedom and how we're not free. He has a passage also. He has a passage and he considers it, and I'm going to read it really quick. It just says, all the sadness and drama you have lived in your life was rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. Take a moment to consider the truth of this statement. The whole war of control between humans is about making assumptions and taking things personally. Mm-hmm. Our whole dream of hell is based on that. So you're in your own hell when you're not free. So that's why I wanted to read it before you said the prayer. Yes.
That makes sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, guys. So just take a moment, close your eyes, open your heart, and take a deep breath. And please consider this from a place of love. Allow the air to fill your lungs. Feel how the air is nothing but love. And notice the connection between the air and the lungs, which is a connection of love. So the prayer goes as this. Today, Creator of the Universe, we ask you to come to us and share with us a strong communion of love. We know that your name, your real name, is love. That to have a communion with you means to share the same vibration, the same frequency that you are, because you are the only thing that exists in the universe. Today, help us to be like you are, to love life, to be love. Help us to love the way that you love, with no conditions, no expectations, no obligations, without any judgment. Help us to love and accept ourselves without any judgment, because when we judge ourselves, we find ourselves guilty and we need to be punished. Help us to love everything you create unconditionally, especially other human beings, especially those who live around us. All our relatives and people whom we try so hard to love, because when we reject them, we reject ourselves. And when we reject ourselves, we reject you. Help us to love others just the way they are, with no conditions. Help us to accept them the way they are, without judgment, because if we judge them, we find them guilty. We blame them, and we have the need to punish them. Today, clean our hearts of any emotional poison that we have. Free our minds from any judgment so that we can live in complete peace and complete love. Today is a very special day. Today, we open our hearts to love again, so that we can tell each other, I love you, without any fear, and truly mean it. Today we offer ourselves to you. Come to us, use our voices, use our eyes, use our hands, and use our hearts to share ourselves in a communion of love with everyone. Today, Creator, help us to be just like you are. Thank you for everything that we received this day, especially for the freedom to be who we really are. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ashe. Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful prayer.
It is. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
And I love every word of that. I love every word of that. I like it being applied to us and punishing and judging ourselves as well as punishing others. And I think one of my favorite parts was because when we reject them, we reject ourselves. And when we reject ourselves, we reject you. So that is the four agreements, a practical guide to personal freedom. Don Miguel Ruiz did not fail with this one. He does follow up with other books. He has the fifth agreement. He has, is it Mastery of Love? I think it's Mastery of Love. Yeah. There is also a companion book to the Four Agreements, if you're interested in that. And he has a few other books as well as an online course regarding this book. So we definitely recommend that you guys invest in purchasing the Four Agreements.
Yes, it's great, great book, great guide, just to help you interacting with yourself and others.
Yes, yes. Well, that's it, family. That is it for this episode.
We hope you all enjoyed.
Yes, kicking it with us, shooting the shit a little bit. Always fun. So, yeah, I guess that's it. You know, hit us up on Instagram. You can find us at beyond_your_beliefs. You can always shoot us an email if you have any ideas for different topics that you want us to discuss. You can hit us up at gobeyondyourbeliefs@gmail.com. And please tune in again next week. Same time, same place.
All right, later.
Bye.